Turn with me in your Bibles. I want to go back over some scriptures we went into last Sunday. There was a few that weren't here last week that are here this week. And I really feel the need to continue to expound on these words, because how many know that Satan's attacking your finances today more than ever? That and what else? The family. Our children. Satan's put fear in the hearts of parents. Which way to go? Parents need to come out in faith and break loose of what the enemy is trying to do in their lives and bring their children up in the Lord, regardless of what the world's saying, regardless of what Hollywood has to say about it, especially those who are outside of covenant relationship. We're not to listen to the sinner, but we are to listen to the saint. We are to listen and pay attention and obey the word of the Lord this day more than ever before. Amen. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verses 19. And God set Israel in a place when he delivered him from Egypt, brought him to that place to receive his covenant commands and all the good things that he had in store for them. Amen. How many know that God did it? God did fulfill his promise with Israel. Who prolonged it? Israel. In fact, we know that Israel wandered in the wilderness no more than 11 and a half miles away from the promised land that he promised that he would lead them into, to a land of milk and honey, and to live in houses they did not build. Amen? To possess it. And they were only 11 and a half miles away, but yet they dwelled in the wilderness for 40 years. It wouldn't take me no 40 years that far. But it's something about when you trust in the Lord, how you got to have that relationship in place to be able to hear from God. If the relationship ain't there with God, you're going nowhere. You might know all the right things to do. You might know all the right sayings to say. But if your heart's not in it, you're not going to hear from God. God may be speaking. How many know that God's speaking all the time? We're just not hearing it. And, you know, we're not in a position to receive it. Amen? And if we did, we wouldn't know what to do with it. I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be sensitive to your relationship with God. Because how many knows it's all about relationship? And obeying God is a relationship. Amen? Remember when Jesus told Peter, he said, "Peter, dost thou love me?" And Peter said, "Well, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He said, "Feed my sheep." What in the world did he mean by that? They didn't even have the church then. He wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost yet. But yet God was speaking a word into him that Peter would fulfill when the day came. Amen? That if, and he put stipulation and emphasis. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, do this. If you love me, do that. Love demands action. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It demanded action. God always makes a way where there is no way. Notice that no matter what situation and place you're in life today, God's already prepared a place for you to come out on top. Yeah, you may be down there for a while, and he may be teaching you some things while you're down there. Isn't that funny that when we're down, we learn more than we ever do? We realize, oops, Lord, I really shouldn't have been doing that. Huh? Hello? Are you out there? Can I bring that to your attention today? And I need to get my scripture. But this is, he brought Israel to a place. He had them build a tabernacle. Why did he give them all the silver and the gold? So when they went out in the wilderness, they could build a tabernacle, a place where they could worship God according to the law that he set before them. Amen. Yeah, the silver and the gold was to sustain them and be able to meet their need, but not that, not just that. The main reason was so they would have an abundance to build and do whatever they needed to do to offer God's best. So you can look at it this way. Anything God wants to lead you out of, he wants to lead you in of. Something better. Look at your neighbor and say, something better. If you'll say to the Lord today that you'll do whatever it takes, that when the blessing does come and you won't forget the Lord and go the other way, God can trust you with it. Because when you mishandle the things of God in your life, you can lose it as quick as you got it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I call heaven and earth to record this day, verse 19, against you. Now notice he said against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. How many of you want to see your children come up in the Lord? Amen. My oldest daughter is coming up in the Lord. God has been faithful with Desiree. I'll never forget that, Nancy, when God sent the family in here and had all grandkids lined up with Desiree. And the anointing came on me, and I released a prophetic anointing upon all of them. And the presence of Jesus was in there so strong, I never felt him that strong. His presence was in here. Do you remember that? There was an awness in the air. It was really strong. And God had me release that blessing. And he gives it upon, he pours it out upon the fathers to release it into the children. And it happened. I never knew that it would happen that day and the man in the moon. But boy, it was God's opportunity. He took advantage of it. And it happened. I'll never forget that. Amen. Anything God does, he releases it through the prophetic before it happens. Whether it be just reading the word and you get a hold of it and it becomes a rhema. Amen. It has to be impregnated in your heart in order for you to release it into the earth. The very conception of children operates that way. Everything in life operates that way. Why wouldn't his word operate that way? It was his word that created it. Amen. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice. Notice, you have to be hearing the voice of the Lord. And that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Now turn over with me to Isaiah. I want to go back over these scriptures because there's something he was instructing. Now, you guys got a hold of that. You know, we talked about the power of choice, didn't we? And how much power that has. Last week, did we? Or did we not? The power to choose. You don't have to worry about whether God's going to perform it. All you got to do is be there when it happens. See, if I hadn't followed the instructions of the Lord, that whole generation that was coming up under Desiree wouldn't have happened. It would have never happened. I just happened to be there where I needed to be in order for it to be released. Jeffrey, God's going to do the same for you. He's going to bring your family to you. You're going to release that blessing into them. It's just a matter of time. You might as well get rid of that unbelief, because I'll tell you what, it's going to happen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to happen. And if the man's not in the stead, he'll use the woman. That's right. Because the believing wife is a covering for the unbelieving husband. Oh, God's always got a word, doesn't he? He's got us covered. Amen. That is so awesome. Isaiah, the 11th chapter. I want to bring this out today because the Lord gave me this scripture last week for us now. You know, and some, you know, I refuse not. I mean, I take the responsibility to move in the prophetic because I believe it is so important. I like teaching, but you can get so caught up in teaching you never learn. It becomes out of relationship. It teaching will make you heady. You know, how many knows that knowledge puffeth up? I like to know a lot of things. And it's good to know a lot of things. But it's better to do it and how to operate in it. Amen. And have the relationship in the spirit with you. See, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If God's spirit ain't behind it, you might know a whole lot of truth, but ain't going nowhere with it. It's like having a car, like a Cadillac sitting out in your parking lot, and you don't have the keys, you can't get in and drive it. Amen. I used to be a Mormon priest in the church. Could never understand why I couldn't get anywhere with God. I knew a lot of scripture, but couldn't get nowhere. And whatever I did, it had to be something religious. It had to be something that sounded good, but it didn't do anything for me. Hallelujah. I want to pick up here in the 11th chapter, starting with verse 1. Oh, let's wait a minute. Let's go down to, I got to make sure I got the right ones here. Isaiah, the 54th chapter. I got the wrong chapter here. Yeah, I was way off. I got too many tickets in my book here. Too many stickers. And that was for another time. I like to hang on to this stuff, so when I want to go there, I can find it. Isaiah 54, starting with verse 9. And that's where I need to go because that's what the Lord spoke to me last week. And it was a word for our church today and for those that are involved in this ministry. And he said this, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee." When you come to that saving knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ, God's not going to be wroth with you anymore. He's not mad at you anymore. And your heart has been changed. You are a brand new man, a brand new spirit in Christ Jesus. He's going to treat you the same way he would treat Jesus. You need to know this. Are you going to make mistakes and follow the flesh from time to time? Yes. But he's not going to be mean with you. He's not going to be wroth. Amen. "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed." What covenant are we talking about today? Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. Not the peace of this world, but my peace." Some of you experience that peace. You have never felt that before. All of a sudden, the storms of life are over. You might see the lightning, you see the clouds, and you see all what could happen, but you don't dwell on what could happen. Why? Because you're dwelling on the goodness of God. You're dwelling and you're meditating on the relationship you have with Jesus. The storms will come, but now God has a handle on it. Woo! You ever heard that song? Que sera, sera. Whatever shall be, shall be. The future's not ours to see. What a lie from the devil. We have to be careful what we sing. Because he has given us the power to choose God's goodness in our life. the reason why we've allowed God to be wroth with us is because we chose not to believe. We chose not to walk in relationship. We chose not to do the things God has called us to do and find ourselves in the place where we need to be when God has preordained to move when he needed to move in order to release that blessing into your life. God is always doing more than you could ever do for yourself. When you understand that, you won't be so quick to boo-boo. Uh-oh, I boo-booed. Oh, I just didn't feel like going to church this morning. Well, you might have missed it. When you get a spirit of lackadaisy, hem-haw, a spirit of apathy, I don't know. Things are so rough out there right now, I don't know if I want to move. I think I'll just stay right here. You might have missed something. I have missed more blessings in my life because I wasn't there where I was supposed to be when I needed to be. See, what he told Israel, that if you'll cleave to me, you know when a child cleaves to their mother, they won't let go. They'll do whatever it takes. You know how a child wants to be with mom and dad all the time. They don't want them to leave. And they cry when they leave. That's the way God wants you to be with him. And this is what God said he'll do. He swore that he would do it. Now notice, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, now he's talking to those who are troubled. He says, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted it. See, how many here have had issues and problems in your life that you think could be not worked out? There just seems to be no answer. Don't look at me so innocently and nobody raised their hands. I see them, Joe. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates and the gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. He's going to build a surrounding in your life that you're going to be comforted and know that you're well taken care of. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. That's why it's so important that your children get in under the anointing of the word and see their parents serve the Lord with all diligence. They don't want you just talking about it. They want to see you doing it. I don't know if you remember or not. When you was a child, you wanted your parents to be right all the time. And anybody had anything bad to say about them, you were mad. Them were fighting words. And I hated that when they said, your mama. You don't talk about my mama that way. But notice what he says here. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. So God is going to build peace in your children's life. They're going to feel security. How many know that children today are very insecure? If you don't believe me, we just had a young man commit suicide. There is a suicidal spirit going around in our young people today that's taking them out before their time. And they don't get a chance to fulfill protocol in their life. What a waste. We'll probably never know why. But God does. Those kind of things we have to give to the Lord. But we can look into things in situations like that and see where the enemy came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. because he could have been so much more and have been comforted with God's promises in his life and have peace and fulfill whatever God had called him to do. Amen. But notice what he says here. Great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. You'll be established to live righteously. I'm going to tell you something. God's got all the things that he needs so you can live for him. You got issues and things going on in your life. Cry out to him to deliver you. There is deliverance in the blood of the Lamb. Take it by faith and believe God that you're being delivered. There's something in your life that's not pleasing to God. Cry out to God to get you delivered. I'll tell you what, the hardest thing I ever had to fight, and you know what? Until I found out it wasn't my fight, it was God's fight. It was cigarettes. I'm not picking on anybody that smokes. I love everybody because I smoke myself, but I'm going to tell you something. There's deliverance in the blood of the Lamb. And if you'll cry out to that deliverance, God will deliver you. The fact of the matter is, he already has. You have to position yourself in faith to receive that deliverance and walk in it, come hell or high water. Some of us don't want to sweat enough and go through enough pain to hold on to that truth until you see the grace of God come through. No pain, no gain. I'm going to tell you something. God wants you to come up into the higher place this year because there's protocol. There's things that he wants to take you higher in, but he can't. Not because you're such a bad person, but he wants to allow his glory to flow through you freely so you don't walk around with your head down and feel condemned all the time. There's a lot more stuff worse than cigarettes, I can tell you that. I just don't want to go into all that. Want to go there, but don't want to. You know, I mean, we have some of the most misfitted, misguided, sexual deviants this world has ever seen today. I can't say that I've never been tempted in those areas, but I'm going to tell you something. God, if you want to know what God thinks about it, just believe what he says in his word. Or read it. He'll tell you what's wrong and what's right. We have a generation that don't want to receive instruction. They don't want to be instructed. They want to go on doing what they're doing and yet believe that Jesus is good. Oh, I believe in Jesus, and go out and live like the devil themselves. And yet God is saying, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? And there'll be a group of people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, got born again, will go to Jesus and said, have I not cast out devils and in thy name? They did mighty miracles. They probably have at one time or another. And Jesus will look to them and said, depart from me. You never knew it. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You know why? They got all that goody-goody stuff they heard from some good preacher and got saved, but yet didn't live it out. Don't tell me you're not supposed to live the gospel out. The Bible says to work out your salvation with trembling, fear and trembling. Work it out. And you got to see to it that your call is made sure for the Lord to accept it. Are we saved by works? No, we're not saved by works. It's God's grace that gave you a plan in life that you can live out your good works. Before you even got there. Isn't that right? But if you think that you can be a Christian and go out and sin every day and act like the devil and be on God's side, I'm sorry, you aren't. I believe in God's total grace. I believe in God's total mercy. But I still believe that we're required to live the kind of life that God's called us to live. Amen? And when Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that holy and acceptable thing of God is. Whew! I said a whole lot right in there. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation is by placing God's word by choice to allow his word to perform whatever it is that God needs to get out of your life and put back in it. It's the dying to yourself and allowing God's glory to flow through you. Amen. And Paul said, I glory in my weakness, because when I'm weak, he's made strong. Praise God. Hallelujah. But notice what he says. Behold, he says, in righteousness thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression. You're going to gain strength in the Lord when you come out strong in him. Amen. For thou shalt not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now notice, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. You ever have anybody come against you strongly? That's not God doing that. I had a whole group of people from a whole different company come against me. I didn't do anything wrong. But it was something that they were trying to do. They were trying to scrutinize me into getting what they wanted from me and do it crookedly. Joe knows what I'm talking about. And called it right when they were doing it, when they were wrong. That didn't come from God. God didn't do that. He said, Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake.